Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Salita, the host of Say Your Piece radio show here on Blog Talk Radio. Join me and Brian for informative show about life, love, politics, and culture.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Salita with Say Your Piece Radio Show Network. And I would like to talk to you guys. I know it's been a while. It's been like almost a month or so now since we've been on air. But we've been so busy doing several other things. I'm doing the show without Brian today because I'm testing out the waters on timing. So I would like to basically kind of talk directly or specifically about everything that's going on. And the name of the show tonight was Are We Ready to Stand Still and Listen? First of all, happy holidays to all my listeners out there. I want to say thank you for listening in. Thank you for this year. This year has been an awesome year. With so much situations and stuff going on, we've seen so many, several different tragedies take place. And I'm just hoping that things get a lot better than this year ended off on. I'm hoping next year, will be better. If you want to call in to make any comments or suggestions or even just talk, you can call us in at 347-677-1749. That's 347-677-1749. Now, tonight's show is only going to be an hour. And like I said, I'm just kind of testing the waters on the timing to see what is a good time for us to start out new year next year. And I want to probably work on having a 5 day a week type show. I'm hoping it works out for me. And we can do from probably 7 to 9 or something like that. I haven't decided what the hours are going to be that I want to work with. I do want to invite anybody who wants some time, airtime, to think about doing this. This is I enjoy what I do. I love radio. I never thought I would, but I love radio. So much you can learn, so much from radio. And the information you get from different people. We're on Facebook. I'm on Twitter, which I don't Twitter that much, but I'm on Facebook too. I just love doing what I do. I will not tell a lie. I love what I do. And I always tell people if there's any information that they can get from me or I can get from them, please feel free to email me, message me, whatever you have to do to get in contact with me. I would love to use your information. As you know, we're ending this year in a somber mood, but I'm hoping that next year will be a better time for us. And if we continue to be blindsided or feel that things are not that important anymore, we're looking toward a doomsday type situation. I think as a people, and I always gear this toward my people, because I never realized, and I'm always telling it, giving advice and talking to people all the time, I never really, really realized how important life truly is. I think this is the time for us as African Americans to wake up. We truly need to wake up. And it's scary to say that, but we really and truly need to wake up to what's going on in our world, because if we don't, we're going to miss out on so much, you guys. And we're going to be forever that last population of people or race of people that, you know what, they never got it. out of all the things that came their way, they never got it. And that's a fear that I have, and I pray to God that never happens to us, that we be in a point where we never get it. So I'm saying to you, can we stand still? Can we stand still and say, you know what, I got to listen. I got to look at it from another point of view. I've got to see if things can get better for me and my family or my community. And please, my hearts and mind go out to those who work hard on trying to improve their community, trying to make things better in their community. My heart goes out to you because I know you guys are working hard. You have sleepless nights. You almost neglect your family so you can take care of your community. My heart goes out to you. I thank you very much. Prayers, I mean, whatever is needed for you guys to get the job done, I know you guys are out there doing it. And I want to say thank you for that. If you don't have to physically put your hands on anything, just by the words that come out your mouth, your teaching methods, the things that you're teaching and the people you're teaching it to, that's important. You know, you give your time, you give your heart, you give your soul, you give your mind to all of this. And I thank you guys for that. And that's kind of what I feel like I would like to do, be able to give back to my community in that way. I don't have to be seen in the streets. I don't have to be all over, you know, in the cameras, you know, on camera all the time, on TV. But I want to be able to talk and get the message out to you how important it is for us to be able to teach. Now, if we can sit still long enough and listen, I think a lot of things can change for us as African Americans. I really believe a lot of things could change for us. But it's got to be up to us to do it. We've got to know when it is that time. And because we don't pay attention, we're so consumed by so much materialistic things. We're consumed about reality TV. We're consumed with fashion, because I love clothes and I love shoes. We're so concerned with how thin we can get, how many boyfriends or girlfriends we can have, that we, you know, in the baby mama drama, we as African Americans get caught up on so much of this stuff, this ghetto mentality. And please don't get me wrong. I'm not condoning or saying that that's your environment, but you don't have to act like your environment. Your environment, you can live in a ghetto. Doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be loud, boisterous, or killing, shooting, stealing, shoplifting, fighting. You know, we fighting each other over the stupidest crap. You know, we want to fight and, you know, show our anger toward each other. We're not fighting the other man. We're fighting each other. And I'm just trying to make the sense of it. Why? Why? What is it going to do for us while we're fighting each other? What is that going to benefit us? I don't see the benefit in it. I don't see the benefit in the ideal that we want to beat up on each other, and then we want to videotape us beating up each other. What amazes me is that lots of times I get those videos on my Facebook page, I delete them. I don't take time out to watch them because I don't want my head filled with the anger and the stupidity that we have toward each other. And that bothers me. You know, it really, really bothers me. Even when I get videos about, like, there's a video out, and I just posted it up on my Facebook. I didn't even look at it. I honestly can say I didn't look at it, where this stepfather was beating up on his stepson. I didn't even watch it, but I put it up there, and I put a little post up there to let people know I'm putting a message through because I looked at what the title said and what the comment was. So I'm not into watching that stuff. And I said the more I can keep that out of my mind, I think the better I can concentrate on helping the people who want help, because everybody's not going to want help. And you learn that, that everybody doesn't want that help to get out of the situation they're in. But I want to talk to you guys who do want that help. I want to talk to you guys to let you know you are loved. Despite what you're going through, you're loved in some shape, form, or fashion. And there's so much hurt. I don't want to talk about the world. I want to talk about the United States. I want to talk about the state that you live in. I want to talk about the city that you live in. I want to talk about the county that you live in. I want to talk about the community that you live in. There's so much hurt already out there, you guys, that we've got to stop this. We've got to stop this. We've got to stop beating up on each other. We've got to stop making life so hard. You know, we've got to stop bullying each other. America is, you know, this is how I'm looking at it in my mind. I mean, just phased, it just kind of went through me, that America created the mess that we're in. How do we come out of this in peace and harmony when we're in a world, or we're in a country where violence is the way of life? You know, how do we fix that? How do we come out of that? When we come back, we're going to finish discussing this. I'm going to take a break, and we shall return.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom. I go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. You see me around the neighborhood, and you've told me I'm a pretty good kid. Well, I'm one out of every four children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. My teacher tells me, in this country, we could grow up and be whatever we want. I want to grow up and be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for kids like me, quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
To help fight hunger in central Louisiana and to find your local food bank, visit feedingamerica.org. That's feedingamerica.org.
I want to tell the story of our existence in our own world. I want others to know that we all have a story to tell about who we are and what we are about. We as women play a very important role in life. God has allowed us to bear the brunt and bruises of so much pain throughout the world because He knew that we could survive through wars and injustices that have been geared toward us. He truly knew what He was doing when He created us. That is why they say we are the better half of the man. We as women need to take our place and stand tall, not wavering on who we are. We need not allow others to define us. We need to come together and stop putting each other down, making one another feel that they have to compete. Compete for attention, for relevance, and for substance. We have to know that we are somebody, that we are strong.
Salita and Brian, and we're back with Say Your Piece. Okay, you guys. Now, as I was saying before, and I want to make sure I didn't lose my place. I wanted to say that we as a people, I don't want to continue to say African American because you guys already know who you are. We as a people, we have to. I don't want to sound like I'm confused or mesmerized by what's going on in our world. I think that we need to go back to the basics. And I know as a little girl, we had a lot of stuff that was, we didn't have video games, we didn't have any of that stuff. But we were outside playing a lot. We had our dolls to play with. We had our imaginary lives to, you know, to be in, and until mom said, okay, reality, let's get ready for bed or whatever, get ready for school, get your homework done, wash the dishes, you know, and we had to do all that. But we enjoyed our playtime. And I think a lot of that has been taken away from our children. And we have to understand that it's very important that our children be able to have that. There's so much stuff going on in this world. There's so much violence, my God. And, you know, people keep hollering, well, you know, we're in the end of times. We're in the end of times. You know what? I'm not ready for that. And I know that sounds crazy, but I'm not ready to just make it sound like it's such a defeating thing that we're in the end of times and everything is just going to, you know, explode and things are never going to be the same. And, you know, I don't want to have that on my mind to think that that's what's going to happen. I don't want that in my heart and I don't want that in my mind. I want to be able to think that God is in charge, despite what we think. God is in charge, and he's going to make a way. And when he says it's done, it's done. We don't have that choice, and we don't have that opportunity to label it like that. So I want to say, if we continue on the path that we're going to really, 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 really see some things that need to be changed. And I think this is our time to stand up in spite of, you know, we say that we have an African-American president in place, which is a great thing. And, you know, I haven't really been, that part of politics I haven't really been paying too much attention to, even though I faithfully did. But I've been so preoccupied on other things that I haven't been really paying attention to what's going on and how they're blaming him for everything. I mean, every little thing happens, they're blaming him. We don't want to look at it that we created this mess. Americans, we created this mess, and now it's starting to turn on us. All the stuff we've done to other countries is starting to turn back on us. We are the laughing stock of countries right now because of the stuff that we've done to ourselves. We weren't intelligent. You know, we want to holler that, you know, we're intelligent, we know this, we know that. When reality is, we are far behind a lot of countries. It shows that up in our education system, the way we live, the money that we make. It's all there. And we want to pretend like, I mean, like everything, we got it going on. You know, we walk around with our chest puffed out, you know, with the eagles, and the eagles is bald, and the eagle is bold, and the eagle is strong and powerful. You guys, we have so much more to learn, so much more to learn. And we're either going to learn how to do stuff or we're going to continue to do things the way it is. And the scary part is, just looks like we're going to be doing the same old, unless we change it. I don't want to be pessimistic. Really, you guys, I don't. I just feel like, in a sense, I don't want to say the end of times, but in a sense, I think we're running out of time. And it's time for us to come together and make things happen. And I think we can do it. I truly think we can do it. If the right people want to help make a difference, I think we can do it. I truly, from my heart, believe it can be done. Now, I'm going to kind of switch gears a little bit with that. And I'm going to, and I know this story's been beaten up, and we need to move on to something different now. I mean, please don't think I'm trying to be heartless, but I'm not. The idea that today on our regular show we had on the radio is called Keeping You Connected, KTTP, 1110 AM. It's one of our local AM channels that we, me and Brian and Dr. Bowles is on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 9:30. And we were talking about the shooting in Connecticut and how the media views us differently. You know, I think of 2010, for instance, in Chicago, 4,800, I think it was, 60 shootings happened. That's death. That's in the year 2010. African American young males under the age of 35 were killed in Chicago alone. Now, opposed to, let's put that up against 20 kids and 6 adults, white. Did anybody do an outcry for Chicago? No. But we did do an outcry, and even the president surprised me. And I was kind of disappointed. And Chicago is his hometown. And he was not pushing that as much as they're doing this Connecticut shooting. And I'm just a conspiracy theorist, and I will say that. I hate to say it, but I think all of this is orchestrated in a sense. And it's about gun control. That's what I really believe. And, you know, we're good at sacrificing. You know, why would, you know, we want to get morals, I guess I want to say. We want to find a way to have morals when it's pertaining to certain people in certain situations. Now, we sacrificed in 9/11, again, a conspiracy theorist. We sacrificed in Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran. We sacrificed Vietnam. You know, we sacrificed us. What makes you think it's any different that we're sacrificing these babies? They sacrificed at the theater. I can't remember what state that was in, but at the theater. Excuse me. We sacrificed at Timothy McVeigh, and nobody wants to say that it's all connected. I believe it's all connected in some shape, form, or fashion. It's connected. We talk about Benghazi. Everybody made a deal about Benghazi. Why? We've been killing people forever. We've gone over into other countries and taken over because America has to have the power, the supreme power. We've killed people when we don't need to, babies, moms, dads. We've destroyed families. So what makes it so different that we're making a big deal about these white kids? And I know I sound heartless right now, and probably got a lot of haters right now, but, you know, you have a right to that. They're babies, but we lose generations because you got to remember the male is the head. No matter what way you see it, he's the head. So if you kill off the male, the female can't procreate by herself. So you kill off the males, you know, you make a habit of killing off the males, and there's not a generation can be reestablished or another generation can become or be born, because we're killing them all. So you look at it like that. That, to me, is another form of eugenics. You know, we holler about abortion and all of this, but, hey, we give them everything necessary to kill themselves off or each other off so that there won't be a repopulation of the earth when it comes to African Americans or black people, that is. So when we do that, we have to think about why is it so easy for weapons to be given and why is it so easy for them to be on the street? You know, hey, I don't own no gun shop. I don't own no, what they call it, weapons of mass destruction to be able to put them in the streets of, you know, cities and allow us killing each other. I don't have that. That way, and a lot of us don't have the money to be able to do that, but we find ways of doing it, and we make it all right. But now that it's gotten out of hand because, quote-unquote, white kids have gotten killed, now we want to come up with the gun control laws. Now we want to make a difference, and this is blatant racism that is happening, blatant. Outright racism that is taking place, and we just sitting back and we mourning for, no matter what color they are, they're kids. Yes, it is. It matters what color they are, because nobody talked about the kids that died in Chicago. You know, we weren't praying for them. We weren't. But when these white kids die, and I think I've seen one black, a family, I've seen a male, black male, out of the whole group. And every place that they go, it's in a white area where there's all white people. The Batman shooting, that was all white. They were in the theater, that was all white. I don't think I even seen any blacks on that. So it seems like all, wherever the little white neighborhoods or whatever it is, that's where the majority of them are white in. So that's white-on-white crime, if I'm not mistaken. So what is it that we're not understanding? What makes it different? And we were also discussing, too, about the way that we describe these murders, because that's what they are. They're terrorist murders. We don't give them that title. Oh, little Joey was a straight-A student, homeschooled. He did this, he did that. He was so quiet, he didn't socialize. Okay, but he killed people. Does it make a difference in his personality? He's still considered a murderer. Why should it be a difference in how we perceive this guy? He killed somebody. Am I right? He killed somebody. So why would it be a difference in how we see them? I don't know. Well, we're going to come back and finish talking about this young man. I think his name was Adam. I don't know the rest of his name because it wasn't, to me, to be honest with you, it wasn't that important to me to know his name. But we're going to talk about the perception we have when it comes to white murderers, because I'm going to call them like I see them and what they are, and black murderers when I return. Okay?
Hi, this is Salita. I'm the host of Say Your Piece here on Blog Talk Radio. And we'll be back.
This is C.B. McCall.
And Garrett Horn, better known as the G-Man.
And we're the host of Lily's Author Show. This show is designed to promote authors and their work. So stay tuned and be enlightened, informed, and educated with today's broadcast.
Good evening. This is Salita and Brian, and we're back with Say Your Piece.
You guys, guess what? I got a lot of stuff from my other radio show in here, and I apologize for that. I got to go back through and clean out my... Let's go back here, through here and clean out some stuff. Sorry, that was from my other show that I finally made a decision to let go, even though I didn't want to. We were like in the prime, but I had to make some decisions, and that was one of the decisions, was to let my show go off of KYT-FM 88.1, which was a great show. Oh, I enjoyed it, and the people that were involved, we all had a great time. But I had to make a real sound decision, and that was one of them, was to let the show go. But I thought I'm so sorry. I had that in there. I apologize for that. I got to redo my music. But anyway, so we're going to go back on the subject of the guy named Adam, who was 24 years old, if I'm not mistaken, and the perception we have of our white murderers opposed to our black murderers. Black murderers, they're lunatics, they're crazy, they're thugs, they're gangsters. Those are the titles we get, or labels that we put on our black men who kill black men. But when white men kill white men, oh, he was a loner. He was antisocial, but he was a smart student, and they picked on him, and they bullied him, and, you know, you hear all that. You don't hear the same. A lot of the shootings that are happening in Chicago, we don't even know what they're behind. We don't even know why people are doing it. And, you know, some people say, well, that's not important. They're killing. Yet it is, because we make it important to know what the white murderer, quote unquote, is thinking. So why not make sure we know what's going on with the black? But that's media. That's how we allow the news, the social media, we allow CNN, MSNBC, you know, we allow them to, Fox News, to create the news for us or how we should see that person who's done something wrong. I never could understand that. And, you know, to some people it's not important. Who cares? But I think it should be important because of all the things that the inequality that happens here in America. After all we've done, we still don't mean crap to them. And that's what we try to tell people all the time. Stop trying to be accepted by them. Accept, you first of all got to learn to be accepted by yourself. And sometimes we're not. We're not accepted within ourselves. So when we learn how to be accepted within ourselves, then we can, you know, well, actually you don't have to make a need to be inclusive to them. You know, we don't matter. When are we going to stop trying to fit in? You know, and please don't get me wrong. I have white friends. I've had Mexican friends. I've had all kinds of friends. Being in the military, I get a chance to travel around, and I've seen a lot. But overall, I still go back to my people because my people is who I am. I can connect with my people. And when you can't connect with your own people, then you have a problem. That means that you have issues with who you are. And what I see is when you can't connect with your people and that you got to be in the face of them constantly because that's what we do, you know, giggling, laughing, and giggling, these people don't care. They don't. Because if it boils down to it, guaranteed you, and I'm going to say it like I see it, say it like I call it, and call it like I see it, we really are not significant. Well, I had a friend for years, 20 years we've been friends. Okay, I have friends I've been friends with a long time that's of a different race. But guess what? I do not hide who I am. I do not try to change who I am. I'm me. I'm not changing. I'm not acting any different way. I will fall in with the rest of them. I don't have to be ghetto. I don't have to be loud. But guaranteed you, they know where I'm coming from. They know what I don't bite my tongue. I don't, because if you start biting your tongue, then they make it acceptable for them to say the things that they're thinking, which they have been doing lately since President Obama was reelected. They've been actually angry and upset about stuff that, to me, is funny, because they didn't act this way when Bush was in there. They didn't act this way when Reagan was in there. And he's the same people because he is a black man. And it keeps going back to self-awareness of who you are. Do not get it twisted. These people feel the way they do when they get in their little groups, when they get take their power lunches and you're not invited, when they go on their smoke breaks, guaranteed you are the conversation piece. When I say you are, I'm not saying individually. I'm saying as a whole, you are the conversation piece. And it's always not nothing good, okay? It's always something negative. You might not hear it, but it's being said. There was a moment of silence, you know, when President Obama got back in office. Is that coincidental that people didn't want to talk anymore, that people are so angry about him being in office? No, that's how it is. That's how they feel. They're starting to show how they truly feel about President Obama being in office. I mean, that's how they feel. They didn't want him in there from the get-go. So why should that change? You know, we've got to realize that it's so much that we're not paying attention to that it's scary. It's so much we're not paying attention to. And because we are not paying attention to it, they're taking advantage of that. They know we're not. And it's funny that I'm saying this, but I'm saying this because it's the truth. You know, we're too caught up in all the stuff that we're doing, all the, you know, we're too caught up in our little thing that we don't even pay attention to the ideal that they really think ill of us. You know, Oh, no, that's my friend. No, they don't feel that way. Yes, they do. They feel that way about you. Whether you want to admit that or not, they do. They feel that way about you. And they'll pretend like they don't, but they do. And you got to stop pretending like, you know, it doesn't matter. You really do. You've got to stop pretending like, oh, man, you know what? Okay, but that's my friend, man. I don't care. We go fishing together. We go shopping together. We do all this. But the truth is, they really don't care. They really don't care about you, you know. Because then I will be wrong. Let me rephrase that, because that's not that. Because there are some sincere white folks out there. But these people have a sense that they're privileged, and it doesn't affect them, you know, how they see to see things. It doesn't. So I can't even say that your friends don't, you know, don't really care for you. That's my part. And I take that back, you guys. Sometimes I can ramble and ramble myself into saying things. But I know that if you pay attention to a lot of their doing, it's probably not the same, you know, like they used to, co-workers. Co-workers and different things. You go on to eat with a worker, it's fine, you know, but invited over to their house. Have you got a chance to meet them personally? Do you guys go out together places, or do you chat with them at work? Those are the things you think about. You know, you have a friend. I mean, that's it. Now, I just want you guys to be aware, everybody is not your, no matter how much you giggle and all parties and stuff. They're not, okay? Even some do each other wrong the same way they do. Not your friends and you are not. It'll come for some of you guys. And it took me a while.
Avast Irish database has been updated.
Sorry for that. I want to take another break. We got 13 more minutes to go. So I want to throw another song at you guys. I hope this time it plays correctly. I apologize for the other time.
Like riding a brand new Lexus, sitting waiting on 22. Everything will be good, no worries, no cares. And I'd have the biggest house sitting on St. Cloud. I wouldn't work for the city, cause I'd be rich. And anything my family wanted, I would just go and get it. I wouldn't understand what being in debt means. I'd be too busy having fun, man, and living my dream. But if this world were perfect, would we really need Jesus? Ministering his word, converting sinners to believers. Would we go and feed the hungry? Would we care for the poor? Cause if we had everything, we wouldn't pray anymore. If this world were perfect, would we really need worship? Living a life of holiness and thinking that it's worth it. If this world were perfect, would I be in this spot? I love my life in Jesus Christ, so I'm glad it's not. It's not.
Just ask my PA what we got next. He said we on the way to the bay with 10 chicks. This what I do, yeah, I'm so blessed. I make music all day, no stress. Plus I'm breathing through life with no tears. And I don't get tempted in life, no flesh. Wish I budget, what is that? Videos and promos, advances, all of that. Plus we got the whole fam on staff and everybody play their role. Only win one hand and every artist in the world on the same label. We all get paid the same, ain't no idle chase.
Yeah, now that would be great, but I got work at it, cause that happened.
I don't need a perfect role.
Through all of this mess, I think things can be better. I think we have so much more to offer, and I just wish us as African Americans come together as black folk. I'm going to get away from the word African American, just say black, because that's what we are. Black folks can start working on things, and I know to a certain extent we have been institutionalized to act barbaric because it's been taught to us that's the way that we do things. And as parents and as leaders, we need to change the mindset. And I think of all of us that learn how to separate ourselves, because back during slavery, we were taught how to separate. You know, that's all we saw was that families were ripped apart. One family went to the bougie side, the other family went to the ghetto side. And we've split up and we've gone our own ways and we've started our own families and we've started our own generations, and we do not want to wind up in the same place anymore. And that's sad for a family. That is really, really, really sad. So I'm hoping and praying that we can come to a conclusion where we don't have to live like that, that we can come together, be smart, make things happen, grow our own vegetables, grow our own communities. I know I'm talking kind of out of my head, but I'm just trying to think of things that we could do, you know, teach our own children. You know, society has made it where they want to make it sound like we were such bad people. And that we were so stupid we couldn't learn anything. We couldn't do this, we couldn't do that. But in reality is we are very intelligent people. And if they can find systems and they put systems in place to keep us to feel like we're inferior to them. Eventually that's going to get old, and eventually it has, and I think that's the fear of the white man, is that we're coming along and we're making things happen. Despite all the other crap that you put in our way, we're still making it happen. We're still here. We're still making things go on. We're still creating. We're still communicating, and we're doing it probably better than they could ever think we could. Because everybody wants to put in the past, it's in the past, but what we take from the past is a reason why we have a future. And if we don't grasp on the concept that our past connects and we either make it better in the future or we continue to do the same thing, and that's a question I want to push to you guys, is the idea, do you want to continue doing what you're doing now, or do you want to start doing things differently? Do you want to make a difference in people's lives, or do you just want to be that stumbling block? Do you want to make a difference in your life, or do you want to be your own stumbling block? We have an opportunity to be a better people, and only we can do that. If we continue not to pay attention and not to you know, well, I'm not political, I don't get into all of that, then what do you get into? You know, I don't care about that. You know, I I'm about my church. Okay, but what is your church doing? How is your church taking a stand on the way the community is being torn down and people are being killed? You know, what is your community doing? What is your church doing about that? You know, we don't want to talk about that because then, ooh, that's a touchy subject. But I can truly say, because I will honestly say, I don't belong to any church, and I've learned a lot about churches, that we've got to find a way to make sure that we, how do you want to say that, that we're being not only involved in your church. You know, we give our heart and soul, our sweat and tears to church. But what are you doing in your community? Do you go to the PTA meetings? Do you go to the school board meetings? Do you go to your city council meetings? Do you go to your alderman meetings, whatever the meetings are? Do you know what's going on in your neighborhood, in your area? You know what? I can say this. I can truly say this. I haven't been to a city council meeting in about a while. But you know what, I have somebody who has, and they come and tell me what's going on, which I think is very enlightening. You learn a lot, you know what's going on, and it keeps me informed. We have a newspaper here, which is an all-black newspaper. It's called Alexandria News Weekly, and it has some very good stuff from all around the world that you can read about. You have so many other newspapers that deal with just black news, which is very important because you know what, they don't get the prompt that they need. When you think about that, you know, there's so many other ways that you can learn and keep, you know, yourself going with the things that are going on in this world. I mean, in our areas, in our communities. It's very important that we do that, you guys. If nothing else, let us make sure we do that. We stay abreast on what's going on around us. It's very important because if we don't, we get lost in the shuffle. We're not only going to be losing in the shuffle, we're going to be losing families, we're going to be losing communities, and we're already losing our dollar bill already. So let's not get into that. But I just hope and pray that we can find a way of doing things differently. I'm hoping that we know how to come together. It's scary and sad all at the same time, you guys. I hope I didn't fill your head with a lot of stuff. I'm trying to stay on track because I really just did this show out of the blue. I just wanted to see if I could do this because I'm testing my time, and I told you that earlier. But I'm thinking a lot of stuff, I didn't have it in no type of format, which I didn't mean to have it in. I just wanted to see how this would work. But it will be sharpened up the next time. I'm planning on coming on again tomorrow. So I want to say you guys stay tuned for tomorrow's show. Hopefully I can get on, and hopefully everything will go right for me, that I'm able to do this again, and I'll have a better format to work with tomorrow night, which is going to be Wednesday, and that's going to be at 7 o'clock, and maybe I'll do a 2-hour instead of just a 1-hour. This was very much so interesting, even with my little quirks, and I'll work out some kinks I have in the show. But I'm hoping to get you guys all revved up for tomorrow, and we can probably look at things in a different way. And I'm hoping that you guys have an opportunity to learn from me on this. Life is short, and we're not promised tomorrow, and we say that all the time. But that shouldn't be an excuse we use to continue to be blessed and make things happen the way that they need to. So, you guys, I'm going to leave you at this. I will talk to you guys tomorrow. I want to say good night and bye-bye.
Tune in next Saturday at 10 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio for Say Your Peace Radio Show with your hosts, Salida McCall and Brian Coleman.